Welcome back to the Sprinkles of Sped podcast with the TBL SEC coaches, or table sec as we like to say. I'm Allison Brumley, and I'm here with
Ann Gleason,
Caitlin Lee.
And we are here to talk about why we are obsessed with paperwork.
Yay, that's our best topic ever.
What a way to start off some podcasts is talking about paperwork. Everybody's favorite. Let me tell you what. Our purpose today, just I like to set like an intention, is to give a little bit of background information on why you guys should care about paperwork as much as we do. Why is it there? Why do we keep bugging you?
How does it impact our jobs?
Absolutely. Because I feel like it's a big deal, but I don't know that anybody ever talked to me about the why.
Yeah, same when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But first, before we get to that super fun, let's check in. How's everybody doing today?
Good. It's Friday. We're recording this on a Friday.
Friday. Yay!
We made it through like the first few days of school.
Mm-hmm.
Not a full week, but
that feels like a big accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It really does. Caitlin, share something positive from this week.
Can it be personal?
Absolutely.
My oldest started kindergarten and we were really excited about it. And kindergartner was ready for kindergarten. So.
And he loves it. Whenever he comes in and we see him, he just loves kindergarten. That's exciting.
Yeah,
that is. It's fun to watch them go off to school.
I know. I'm not like the sad parent. I'm excited. I mean, it is bittersweet, but.
You were the woo-hoo, not the boo-hoo.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Anne? What's something positive from this week?
Oh, you know, Kathy and Jaina, our new MIS clerks, and I are working very hard to get things going. We've got caseloads. I think they're about ready to go and are finalized. But everybody check your caseloads. Make sure we've got them right. Yeah, so we're just plugging along. We're checking things off our to-do list.
I love it.
So, how about you?
Let's see. Something positive from this week. I actually got out in buildings and checking in with people, which that fills my bucket more than anything else, is getting out there and talking to people and seeing kids in the building. Saw my ESY kids. That was awesome.
And your own oldest is in middle school.
Yes.
She likes it. Things are good.
She loves it.
Great.
She's going to love all the changing of classrooms and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Down to business.
Down to business. Yay, compliant.
So I just first want to acknowledge some elephants in the room, maybe.
Okay.
Not, you know, nobody likes paperwork. And that includes us, Caitlin, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody likes paperwork. Nobody sits as a child and thinks, I'm going to become a teacher so I can do paperwork. Yay!
Like, that was not my dream.
No, it's nobody's childhood dream. We know that. We know that you, if you were working in education, if you were working in schools, it's because you like kids and you like learning and you like teaching, not because you want to be a data entry clerk or a word processor. That's not my experience. It might be somebody's dream job, but in my experience, that's not why people go into education.
Right. Agreed. Yeah.
So we also want to acknowledge how much time it takes to do the required paperwork for special education. It is a full-time job just to do paperwork. So we also acknowledge that there is a super steep learning curve with IEPs. There's no classes. I mean, undergraduate, graduate, I never had a class that said, this is how you write an IEP. There were some that were like, here's how you make a SMART goal. You have to have measurable, all those that stuff, but not really a class that took you through that whole process from gathering your data to creating the whole thing and determining services.
And I think too, even when you're doing your student teaching in special education, it's so chunked.
Well, like, they don't put you in charge of writing IEPs.
Right. But even the data collection and those things where you're helping your teacher, you don't really see the whole process start to finish.
True.
Yeah. And then the other thing too with paperwork, which I don't know, annoys me. I don't know if it annoys you guys, But it seems like every year there's something new or something different
more.
that we need to collect or
something
whatever.
more.
So, yeah.
Another thing we have to do.
Yeah.
It's never ending.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of takes trace for like acknowledging how stressful this is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there.
The balancing act.
It really is. Well, and I remember being told this is a legal document. This, you know, you can be sued. I remember mm-hmm. those like in your sped law class kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Which can be scary too.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't know what you're doing to begin with. And
then
you've
on.
Got this. Oh my gosh, if I do it wrong, something legal could happen to me. I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely stress.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of rules, a lot of rules. It's
and again,
not...
they change or there's a new court case and now there's something new that we have to change or add to it. And
yeah.
It's not consistent. And that's
you know,
difficult.
In the 20 something plus years that I've been writing IEPs and I was thinking about this. So let's just say 20, although more. If you average caseload of, so maybe I wrote 20 IEPs a year. I'm mm-hmm. being generous there.
Sure.
Wrote 20 IEPs a year for 20 years. That's hundreds of IEPs.
Mm-hmm.
And how I wrote IEPs when I first started,
mm-hmm.
where we used to handwrite our PWNs.
Yeah, I remember those days. Yes, absolutely. And then you had to turn it into the data clerk. And then I don't know about you, but I was working in the Wichita district at the time. And then it would take months before the data clerks even cleaned up the IEP and got it back to us.
I know. I don't recall ever getting anything back.
Oh,
I started in Paola and I've been in KCK and I've been in Turner and I've been here and every single one of those places has done it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to handwrite everything. We do our notes on carbonless copy
yes,
paper
yes.
with the pink and the yellow forms. And we would handwrite the notes and then everybody would sign them and we would tear them apart. And the yellow copy went with parents and the pink copy stayed in my file and the white one got turned in with my paperwork. So even in the years that I've been in special mm-hmm. education, how we write IEPs has changed.
Yep.
You know, we didn't used to put state standards with goals.
No.
We didn't worry. I mean, there were so many things that have changed.
I mean, our prior written notices are so different than when we first started. I mean,
yeah.
I don't even actually recall filling out the prior written notice to the intensity that we do now.
Oh, no.
You know.
We were handwriting it. We used minimal words.
We did. Yeah. Oh, those were the days.
I think there's also this idea that there's this standard and there's this right way to write an IEP.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is the format you're supposed to use. But then you hear this wording, you have to do it right. It has to have these, like 1, 2, 3, these things in there. But then you're also told, don't copy and paste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is so hard
mm-hmm.
because either you want me to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if I know this way is right, I want all of them to be right.
Yeah.
But I'm not supposed to copy and paste. And that feels frustrating. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we yet have a good answer, like how to deal with that.
No, I
you
think
know?
it's just one of those things where it's super frustrating.
Yeah.
And we just have to keep trying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to start by acknowledging that we feel the stress and frustration that paperwork
mm-hmm.
brings to you. And that there's just, it is a, I don't want to say necessary evil, because it's not evil. But it is a necessary part of our job
mm-hmm.
that can cause a lot of frustration and stress. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think it's interesting too, when I went from being a case manager in the classroom to a coach, in my silly mind as a first year coach, I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about compliance anymore. We're all laughing because it's coaches. I think that now IEP compliance is more stressful to me as a coach
mm-hmm.
than as a case manager.
Yeah.
So, which has been an interesting shift.
It is. So. It is. So, Anne, I want to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
So, if I'm a case manager or a provider, I turn in my bundle.
Okay.
What is the bundle? And what happens to it after I turn it in on the Google form?
Yeah, absolutely. So, so many of you know my favorite form that we have in our arsenal of paperwork is the what forms do we need?
Oh, let's link that in the show notes so
absolutely.
People can go straight to that.
So that what forms do I need tells you as a case manager what paperwork needs to go into that bundle that is then uploaded into Documents and Brightset. So once that's all done and you have filled out your paperwork submission link, which we'll also link in the show notes there too, and you've turned in that paperwork, what happens is I get a notification on a spreadsheet that you're done with your bundle, you've turned it in, and it's ready for us in the office to review. And so what we'll do is we'll pull up your paperwork. We've got some compliance checklists that we use, and we'll go through the checklists, make sure that you've got the right dates, the right service providers. We'll kind of skim and scan your present levels, your goals, make sure everything is kind of on the up and up. And then if there are things that need to be corrected, I'll email you. You'll hear from me or Caitlin or Allison if they're also helping with the compliance.
Yay. And
then, yeah, I know. I try not to have them do it too much anymore. But then you'll hear from us with an email with those corrections. And then we'll work together with you to get those corrections done. Once that's all done, then I can finalize the paperwork in BrightSped, which is always a great feeling. You'll get an email from, again, one of us saying your paperwork is finalized or almost ready to be finalized. And then you guys send it home as case managers.
Can I hit on that?
Like, yeah,
sending
please.
It home to parents.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as a case manager myself previously, that's easy to forget, but it's really important for parents. So they have a copy of the finalized product.
That to me is one of those things where, if you don't do it, that could lead us down the road to some issues legally, because parents are, we are obligated to turn in or give our parents that final bundle.
Yeah.
And so that will kind of be a goal for us this year too. So once our paperwork is finalized and BrightSped, it's not over.
It's not over.
Not even close.
Anne, are you telling me your job doesn't end when the paperwork is done being checked?
Not in BrightSped.
What happens
no.
next?
Okay. So once we're done finalizing the paper in bundles in BrightSped, then as MIS clerks, we have to go to the state side.
Okay.
So,
what does MIS stand for?
Management system or management information system.
Ugh. That sounds like a job that I don't want. So bless you, Anne.
And we have got two great ladies that we've hired, Kathy Bell and Jaina Schooley. And when you guys are in the SPED office, you need to come and say hello to them because they are amazing women. They're brilliant and they're helping me do this MIS job much better. I mean, those of you that know Mary Cam, she was a wealth of knowledge.
She was.
And so now we're learning what Mary did. So we're a little bit behind, but we're catching up quick.
I'm amazed at how much you guys have been able to do, because honestly, it really is a full-time job for three people.
It is.
So,
yeah, it is.
So glad that you have Jaina and Kathy.
Yeah. So we're uploading things to the state. We're making sure, accountability schools are accurate, responsible schools are accurate. Things that as a case manager, I'm looking at Caitlin, we never did. No.
There's so much more behind the scenes than what you really actually think is being done.
And
that has to be done.
I really thought as a young case manager, that back when we had to handwrite everything, my paper went to the SPED office and I had no clue. It could have dropped into a black hole.
Right.
I would not have known. I never heard anything else. We just turned it in and they did some mystery. They could have just kept it in the office. Mm-hmm. I never knew what happened to it afterwards.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really until I had this job that I knew to the extent of what happens. Mm-hmm.
And the importance of the back end of it, because now I'm going to bring in the money aspect of it. As we are, as case managers, making sure our IEPs and paperwork are correct, and then as an MIS clerk, we're uploading it to the state, all of that directly impacts the funding and money that we get as a district. So I just think of it as the more new and updated stuff we want in our classrooms, whether it's curriculum, whether it's manipulatives, whether it's OTPT equipment or whatever we need.
Or personnel.
That all stems from the accuracy of our paperwork and our needs that we demonstrate to the state. And because then on the flip side of that, if we are inaccurate with our paperwork or if we're missing things, we get dinged by the state. And that ding is
dollar.
A loss of money.
It's
right.
Dollar.
Right.
That it takes us right into this. I know we've thrown around words like file review. People may have talked about, you know, our compliance checks are based on the file review. And then there's all these indicators. And do you know how many indicators there are?
We have got a total of 17 indicators.
I was close. I said 16. Yeah. 17 indicators. So what exactly are the indicators? And what is the file review?
So the state comes up with these indicators that we look at. And these 17 indicators are not just for special education. They're for general education as well. So they're across the board. Things like our graduation rates, they look at those. Dropout rates, they look at, the state looks at those. Our suspensions and expulsions. Preschool, some of our preschool, like our environment and how we're servicing our preschool kids and our minutes with that. There's an indicator ensuring that we have a certain percentage of parental involvement district-wide. So we do surveys and we do different things to make sure we've got parental involvement. And then we also, one of our indicators is looking at our eligibility for special education and making sure we don't have a disproportionate number of maybe a race or that
minority population.
Exactly. So we're still looking at that. So there, that's just a brief overview of the 17 that we look at.
Wow. So, and I think those have to be looked at every year. There's like reports that people who get paid more than me have to do.
Yep. Or our MIS clerks.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have to self-report on all those things every year. But then the file review is a little different.
It is. Yeah. So that file review, we actually have our file review every 3 years. So now we are in our second year of kind of the cohort group. So we'll have one more year. And I think it's at the end of next year, yes, maybe next summer. Then we'll start pulling our files again, making sure that we're looking at them. We get audited. Other people from the state look at our records. They kind of do a random sample. And then the file review, we've got questions and information that have been an issue based on our indicators that we need to address as special education. So for example, I'm just going to pull maybe a suspension and expulsion. If our data for the suspension and expulsion, if those kiddos don't have the right service codes or the right minutes or something like that, then that's kind of part of the file review that we provide professional development to US case managers to make sure we're doing that appropriately and correctly. So then it all kind of trickles down to our case managers through professional development.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's big. And I had no idea until I kind of took over the MIS part of this after, you know, we had a change in staff. I had no idea the depth of this. And so.
But you know what is amazing is that it all gets done.
It does.
It gets done, and people have pulled together, and we have such an amazing team here and so talented and works together wonderfully.
And even as we come to our case managers and our staff in buildings and we're like, hey, this is a new thing based on the file review. We have to change this or whatever. We've got such great staff that they do. I mean, they are doing it. They're doing what we ask. And so we are so appreciative of our staff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Corrections get done quickly.
They do.
Mm-hmm. People are just on top of it. And that is so appreciated.
Yeah.
So, Anne, are there any important dates related to all this indicators and file review? What dates do we need to know about?
Great question. So you guys, those of you that are veteran teachers that have been in our district before, have heard of December 1. We like hammer that to no other.
It's my favorite date.
Yeah. That December 1 count is so important because that's the date when the state pulls our list of our SPED students and kind of looks at that, makes sure our numbers are correct, are accurate, we match. Our Bright Sped matches what the state has. And that's really our big money funding time.
There is so many dollars per student.
Correct.
So we have to have the right number of students because that says how many dollars we get. And if we say we have more kids than we actually have, we get more money than we actually are supposed to, that's when we get in trouble.
That's a biggie. Yeah, that's a big trouble. And the opposite, though, is true. If we're missing kids, if we don't have all of our kids in both systems, then we could lose money because we don't have the right stuff. So December 1 is huge. Our blackout date this year for December 1, remember, we want all of the annual IEPs between November 15th and December 10th moved up to prior to November 15th. So those kiddos, and the reason we do that again is so that we make sure those kind of bubble kids around December 1st are counted before December 1st, and we get the correct amount of money based on those kids.
I also remember hearing that if you have kids in initial eval and it's possible to get them in before December 1,
That's
get
huge.
them all in there, get those IEPs finished and signed for those initial evals, because that just adds to our number, which
It
is a
does.
good thing.
It does. So, and then the other blackout date that we always try to do too for our annual IEPs, we try not to have any done after May 1st. And from an MIS standpoint, it is so important that if you have any annual IEPs in May, that you get those moved up, because it's such a time crunch, and we've got a couple other due dates kind of right away after school gets out, that it is helpful to have all of that paperwork done, finalized, corrected, and finished for some of those summer dates
Well,
that we have.
nobody wants a phone call over summer that says, "Hey, your paperwork's not right. You need to come fix it."
Exactly. So it has been a learning curve kind of taking over the MIS stuff. There's a lot to it. But it's not complicated in a way that there's nothing that we as a team or we as a district can't do. So,
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, Caitlin, I'm going to pick on you
okay.
because you have been in the classroom the most recently of the three of us.
Yes.
So I want your perspective thinking back, because for me to think back as a case manager, that's like 10 years. That's a long time ago. Your recollections are much fresher than mine. So, putting your case manager hat on,
Yes.
how knowing paperwork's important, right?
Yes.
But that's not what we're hired to do. We're hired
Right.
as teachers or speech pathologists or OTs or PTs. Like that's not hired to do paperwork. So how do you balance that instruction piece that's like what we really are doing with the paperwork piece, which is the stuff we have to do? How do you find that balance?
This is a really hard question because I feel like there's really no right or wrong answer or right or wrong way to do it.
The wrong way
I
is to
mean,
not do the paperwork.
I know, but the balancing part. So I would use a lot of my time. This may sound silly, but I would just, once I got to my plan time, which I know plan time is sacred, and some of us don't always get our full plan time because of certain situations. So again, it's a really hard balancing act. But if I had the time that day, I would make sure to give myself, like, okay, you're going to work on planning for instruction in this amount of minutes. And then the rest of the time, you're going to get that paperwork bundled, or you're going to send that paperwork through Doc Hub to get it signed. And so that's one way that I would do it. And then this is going to also maybe trigger some people, but there wasn't a day that I wouldn't not work on it, like at home.
That's a lot of negatives there. Say that again.
And I get it because I have two really little kids. So it's those of you that have really little kids, it's hard to get anything done when you have a 2 and a 5-year-old running around at home.
That is
So
true.
I would either get up earlier before them and work on it, or it would be late at night, but I wouldn't let myself stay up like super late, but it would be like after the kids went to bed. I feel like it's almost impossible, even if you don't have kids, to not work on it at home if you're in a time crunch, like paperwork. Planning, you could get to work early. I would go to work early.
Yeah. I found myself because I never wanted to take anything home.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Once I had kids,
Yeah,
it
I
was
don't
hard.
want to take it home. Well, I just know me. And once I walk in the door of my house, my work brain is off. I want to put my feet up. I don't want to think about work. So I would get to work super early, or I would stay late so that it could be done and I could walk away from it.
Lists. I'm a fan of lists. I usually have like five running lists going like on a post-it note or something like that, just to help me organize. If I had several IEPs that had happened or that I needed to get done, I would make a list in logical order. I don't know that there's really a perfect answer for
that. You're a great color coder too. You like all the
colors. I do. I like color coding.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of the things that I found, you know, when we went through COVID, we had to do the Doc Hub thing and we had to send our paperwork to have it signed.
I love it.
I hate it. Oh, I do. I prefer to have all of my paperwork done, signed at the meeting, and then I can bundle all of that and I've got it done right after the meeting. So sometimes after meetings, I would take that 5 or 10 minutes that, you know, the paperwork is all signed, I've got it bundled, I'll scan it, you know, and then upload it into BrightSped. And then if I've got any questions on the IEP that I need to fix or whatever, then I try to get all of that done in that 5 or 10 minutes after the meeting. And that I found helpful too. I know not everybody can do that, but if you can, that might be something to think about.
Are you still a paper calendar girl?
I am.
And Caitlin, you're a paper calendar girl. I gave up my paper calendar years ago because I couldn't keep up between the two.
Yeah, no.
And I love my Google calendar and I live by that. So I think maybe that's just the mentality difference that like I like to be paperless.
No.
So I love Doc Hub. Make it easy. Let me just send it to you. I can send a reminder. I don't even have to call you.
Right. No, and that's hilarious because in my mind, I hear you say this and I go, wow, that would be so much easier. But then I would also in my calendar, and I think Caitlin, maybe you did this too, where in my paper calendar, I would put, okay, the IEP due date for Allison's IEP is October 31st. And then 10 days before that, I'd be like, all right, this meeting has to be scheduled. And then 10 days before that, I'd notice the meeting. Can you imagine my electronic calendar if I did all of that?
Oh,
it gives you anxiety. I can see it on your face.
It's a lot.
It also helps too. Like when I'm writing that, then like it sticks in my brain.
Yeah.
Like the memories.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like how, learning style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Let's talk about corrections.
Okay.
When you get feedback, like for something on an IEP, is it hard to get corrections to do? What's your response to getting email? Hey, you forgot to have parents sign blah, 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 or your service lines and your PWN don't match.
No, I loved it because then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to forget that next time. Or I saw it as a challenge too. Like, okay, last time I had to fix this, my goal this time, it's like, you know, when you're driving and you want to try to beat the GPS, you're going to get there at this time. I don't really have to do that. That's not safe.
Sure, Caitlin.
But it just helped me improve, or it helps me really look through my stuff before I submitted it or uploaded it to BrightSped.
I always kind of liked, I never felt like I got a ton of feedback, but I always liked when I had another like case manager or somebody who I can be like, hey, will you read this and see if it makes sense? Because sometimes when you've stared at something and for enough time, like you can't even read the words anymore because you've looked at it so much. So I always like to have a second set of eyes on something.
Yeah, me too.
So what about if you've got one of those kiddos who has like every related service provider out there? And we've all had those kids where you have the OT and the PT and the SLP and the adaptive PE and the rainbow of letters.
Yes.
All of the acronyms.
Yes.
Coming. How do you coordinate all the paperwork from the case manager point of view? Like that's a whole thing in itself.
Something that I would do is I didn't necessarily delegate anything unless it was maybe a reeval. Like I would work with my school psych on that.
Yeah.
And like, because you have like two separate bundles, so you can make it one to one. So I would just send out the service providers a little email that says, hey, I would like to get this done and uploaded by this date. If you could have your information in here by this date, that would be great. Sometimes I would maybe work with those people and I could maybe on the PWN, because that's, I feel like one of the areas you have to wait for them to put their stuff in. I sometimes would go in and start typing something and then they go in and finish it. I don't know. I tried to just make it as the least amount of complicated as possible.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately as a case manager, It is your responsibility to make sure your prior written notice is done and correct. And I loved when my related service providers would fill it out. That's awesome. But as a case manager, I always check to make sure that it all matched and it makes sense.
Well, when the email comes for corrections.
When you hear from Ann and it's like, hey,
that's who they're going to ask service to fix
it. PWN don't match.
I'm also a little bit of a control freak.
Oh no, not you.
That's why I didn't really delegate a lot because like you said, I like to look it over. They can put their information in, but I like to be the one that.
I don't know that I'd call it a control freak because I'm going to go back to what I just said too with the case manager. Yeah. As a case manager, excuse me, it is your responsibility to kind of make sure that that's all done and correct. So
that's where the buck stops.
Yeah, it certainly does.
That makes sense. Is there anything that, like, if you could give brand new sped teacher, this is their first year, if you could give them a little piece of advice about paperwork? Is there, I'm putting you on the spot here.
No.
Is there anything you can think of?
Contact your sped coach.
I should have. You get your $5 later. Paid advertisements.
No, like, that's what I'm here for. I oftentimes feel like the sped coaches, like, we're kind of seen as, like, I don't know, authoritative or something, or intimidating.
Yeah, we are not administrators.
Yeah. And or like, because I'm not, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help. That's why I have this position, is to be helpful, and that's what I like to do. And
I would say too, Caitlin,
it helps me build a relationship too.
Yeah, well, that, yeah,
get to know people.
But it's better, would you agree that it's better to be proactive as a new teacher into SPED and ask for help first? And don't be afraid to ask for help, because then.
So even if you've been doing this for longer than me, because I'm the spring chicken here, you know, like, or if you have a question, like, send me a question. If I don't know the answer, then I'll ask you guys, or I'll ask whoever I need to ask.
We all need a springboard for ideas, even because there will always be that kid that you're like, oh, I've tried everything.
Yeah.
And you just need to talk it out loud. I am a verbal processor. If I'm trying to figure something out, I'm going to talk it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, lots of people are like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, do we feel sufficiently obsessed with paperwork?
Let it go. I wish we could just let it go.
I do too.
I think, though, that as we do it, and the more familiar we are with it, the easier it gets. So, there's hope for those, especially our brand new teachers, that while it is kind of scary to begin with, dive in with both feet, ask for help, and it does get better and easier, I promise.
Dive in with your feet.
Dive in both feet first. Yes. Yep.
I love
it. I know. Any true diver would say, no, don't do that. But
I love it. All right. You guys are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And our helpful hint today.
Okay.
What's our helpful hint?
Yeah, so it's that time of year where we've got some amendments coming in, especially as you're looking at your new caseloads, there may be things that you want to change. If you want to make an amendment, please email myself, acgleason@usd458.org. You can email Kathy Bell or Jaina Schooley. So it would be K Bell, J. Schooley, again, at usd458.org. And then we'll unlock it for you. And then if you have any questions about paperwork that needs to be done, check your what forms do you need and ask for help.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That is great hint, especially at the beginning of the school year. So let's wrap it up. How do I submit ideas for this podcast? We have a QR code, which is going to be posted in all the different ways we communicate with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we will attach the link to the Google form in the show notes here. The Google form just allows you to send us some feedback, questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, which we will probably not respond to. Constructive feedback is fine. But we would love to hear your ideas for a podcast, or if you'd like to be a guest, please send that to us in the Google form. It is anonymous. Unless you want to be a guest, then you probably should tell us who you are. But we would love to have you guys join us in our efforts to collaborate more efficiently, share our knowledge, and have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. List our sponsors next.
Sponsored by. Nope, sorry, no sponsors. But we will see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.